So tonight we're going to look at chapter 41. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll read a few verses and we'll begin. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you and thank you for your mercy that's been over us again this day. Thank you for bringing back home our brothers and sisters, keeping them safe, and gathering us back at this evening for Bible study prayer meeting. Pray, Father, as we look at this chapter, that we might gain from it, that we might be encouraged, and look forward to the time when we will see this with our own eyes. Ask you, Lord, to bless the congregation. Help those that could not be with us tonight. Watch over them and bless them. Bless the ones that are sick. Heal them, Lord, and help them, we pray. May you be glorified. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's read verses 1 through 4. Chapter 41. Afterward, he brought me to the temple and measured the post 6 cubits broad on the one side and 6 cubits broad on the other side, which was the breadth of the tabernacle. And the breadth of the door was 10 cubits, and the sides of the door were 5 cubits on the one side and 5 cubits on the other side. And he measured the length thereof 40 cubits, and the breadth 20 cubits. Then went he inward and measured the post of the door 2 cubits, and the door 6 cubits, and the breadth of the door 7 cubits. So he measured the length thereof 20 cubits, and the breadth 20 cubits before the temple. And he said unto me, this is the most holy place. In the last session, as we went through chapter 40, we left the man with the measuring reed with the prophet Ezekiel on the porch of the temple. In this chapter, the Lord continues the description of this magnificent structure. And we've seen something of the gates, the outer court, and now the inner court. Now we read about the temple itself. So in this chapter tonight, we're going to see the dimensions of the holy place and the most holy, the wall of the house, the side chambers of the temple, the winding about to them, and the doors of them. And next, we're going to see a building before what's called the separate place, and its doorposts, windows, and galleries. And after that, we talk about each how the ornaments of the house are described. Then we read one verse about the altar of incense. And the chapter is concluded with a description of the decoration and lights on the doors, porch, and side chamber of the temple. So let's consider these 4 verses that we read, which is the dimension of the post and the doors, both of the holy place and the most holy place. Verse 1, afterward he brought me to the temple and measured the post, 6 cubits broad on the one side and 6 cubits broad on the other side, which was the breadth of the tabernacle. These were the posts at the door of the temple, and they stood on each side of it, on the north and south. And they were 6 cubits thick, which is a very, very large column or post. When it says this is the breadth of the tabernacle, I'm still chewing on that. I don't yet know exactly what that means. So I might as well not to say anything about it because I don't know yet. So maybe we'll come back to that another time. It just happens that this is the only time the word tabernacle is used in Ezekiel. And the width of the Old Testament tabernacle was 12 cubits. So maybe it's that. I'm not sure. Verse 2. And the breadth of the door was 10 cubits, and the sides of the door were 5 cubits on the one side and 5 cubits on the other side. If the door is 10, and you got 5 on each side of the door, and it makes the whole thing 20 cubits wide. And it says here, the length is 40 cubits. So this is talking about the holy place, where the first part of the temple, you go in, 20 cubits wide, 40 cubits long. Verse 3 and 4, then went he inward and measured the post of the door 2 cubits, and the door 6 cubits, and the breadth of the door 7 cubits. So he measured the length thereof 20 cubits, and the breadth 20 cubits before the temple. And he said unto me, this is the most holy place. 20 by 20, exact dimensions of the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple. I did some research about these two verses. Reading the Septuagint, I was hoping I would get some better information about that. But all I actually got was confused. I wasn't able to understand any more from it than I was from the King James. So I'm going to stick with the King James. No use of me reading the Septuagint to you because it's just bewildering to me. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And this talks about the oracle or the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple. 1 Kings chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And the oracle he prepared in the house within to set there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And the oracle in the forepart was 20 cubits in length, and 20 cubits in breadth, and 20 cubits in the height thereof. And he overlaid it with pure gold, and so covered the altar, which was of cedar. The difference here is that there's no gold mentioned in this temple or anything that I've read so far. Nothing covered with gold like it was in the Temple of Solomon. And we don't know exactly how tall it was. Doesn't tell us how tall it was. But we do know that the building, and there were chambers on each side of the temple, like a big open space with cubicles in it. And this was 3 stories high, so the temple had to be as well. Exactly how high, we don't know. So let's read in verse 5 the description of the wall, the house, and the side chambers, and what's called the winding about to them, which I think is a staircase, and the doors. Verse 5 and 6. After he measured the wall of the house 6 cubits, and the breadth of every side chamber 4 cubits, round about the house on every side, and the side chambers were 3, one over another. Notice that. One over another, and 30 in order. And they entered into the wall, which was of the house, for the side chambers round about, that they might have hold, but they had not hold in the wall of the house. So these chambers were sitting on a broad wall on the outside of the temple itself, and not actually sitting on the foundation of the temple. So there were 90 of these chambers on the outside of the temple, like in a horseshoe arrangement, left and right, and at the end. Verse 7. And there was an enlarging. I looked that up to see what it meant. It just means enlarging, so it can't go any further. And a winding about, still upward to the side chambers. For the winding about of the house went still upward round the house. Therefore the breadth of the house was still upward, and so increased from the lowest chamber to the highest by the mid. If I understand this right, the walls on the outside of this were very broad, and the lower chamber was bigger than the middle chamber, and the middle chamber was bigger than the upper chamber. So, but it had this winding, which appears to be the access point to go up into the chamber on the second and third story. This is a big, big structure. It's pretty, take a lot of carpentry, a lot of imagination to design this and build it. Let's read verses 8 through 10. I saw also the height of the house round about. Now he says that, but he didn't tell us how high it is. He just said, I saw it. So, the foundations of the side chamber were a full reed of 6 great cubits. I'm talking about that external house. That's quite a foundation. The thickness of the wall, which was for the side chamber without, was 5 cubits. And that which was left was the place of the side chamber that were within. And between the chambers was a wideness of 20 cubits round about the house on every side. Huge structure. The wideness speaks of the chambers all around the house on every side. We might say that it was a length, as we would explain it. Verse 11. And the doors of the side chambers were toward the place that was left. One door toward the north, and another door toward the south. And the breadth of the place that was left was 5 cubits round about. Now, in verses 12 through 17, we read of the building before the separate place, and its doorpost, and the windows and galleries. This building set right back on the western wall. Remember, there was no gate on the west. There were only gates on the north, south, and east side. And this building covered up that whole area on the western side. So let's read verses 12 through 15 and explain this building. Now the building that was before the separate place at the end toward the west was 70 cubits broad, and the wall of the building was 5 cubits thick round about, and the length thereof 90 cubits. So he measured the house, 100 cubits long, and the separate place, and the building with the walls thereof, 100 cubits long. Now, put that in perspective, 100 cubits is like 150 to 180 feet long. You look at my house standing there on the bluff, and if we put my house and Mary Ann's together, it's 86 feet long, so it wouldn't be hardly half as long as this one is. Also, the breadth of the face of the house and of the separate place toward the east, 100 cubits. And he measured the length of the building over against a separate place, which was behind it. And the galleries thereof were on the one side, or on the other side, 100 cubits, with the inner temple and the porches of the court. So the building was west of the temple, adjacent to the outer wall, but we're not told in this chapter what this building is for. It may come up later, but I don't think I remember it being in this description. It is, counting the width of the walls, 100 cubits long and wide. Now verses 16 through 19. The doorposts and the narrow windows in the galleries round about under three stories, over against the door, sealed with wood round about, and from the ground up to the windows, and the windows were covered, to that above the door, even unto the inner house and without, and by all the wall round about, within and without, by measure. And it was made with cherubims and palm trees, so that a palm tree was between a cherub and a cherub, and every cherub had two faces, so that the face of a man was toward the palm tree on the one side, and the face of a young lion toward the palm tree on the other side. It was made through all the house round about. I can imagine that this is carved into the walls and into the posts of that, much like Solomon's temple was. I think it's probably a very, very beautiful thing. Verse 20. From the ground unto above the door were cherubims and palm trees made, and on the wall of the temple, it appears in the full length of the wall of that temple, was covered with palm trees and cherubims. Verse 21. The posts of the temple were squared, and the face of the sanctuary, the appearance of the one as the appearance of the other. Now you remember in Solomon's temple, he had this man that he had brought in that could work with brass and all of that. He went out on the plains of Jordan and made these big pillars that were to set in front of his temple, and they were a circle. They were round like this. But these, in this one, is square. They're not round at all. In verse 22, we read about the altar of wood. The altar of wood was 3 cubits high, and the length thereof 2 cubits, and the corners thereof, and the length thereof, and the walls thereof were of wood. And he said unto me, this is the table that is before the Lord. So it's called an altar. And evidently, this is the altar of incense. And remember, it shows us that there's no gold overlay on this one like there was in the tabernacle and in the temple. So it's quite different. Now, notice, if you will, verses 23 through 26. This chapter concludes with a description of the decoration and the lights on the door, the windows, porch, and the side chamber. Verse 23. And the temple and the sanctuary had 2 doors, and the doors had 2 leaves apiece, turning leaves. 2 leaves for the one door, and 2 leaves for the other door. And they were made on the doors of the temple, cherubims and palm trees, like as were made upon the walls. And there were thick planks upon the face of the porch without. And there were narrow windows and palm trees on the one side and on the other side, on the sides of the porch, and upon the side chambers of the house, and thick planks. very descriptive of the decoration that's on this part of the temple. Now, up to this point, we've read the description of the temple, the side chambers, a separate house, the incense altar, and somewhat of the beauty of this house. In the next chapter, which is chapter 42, we're going to read about some of the chambers in the northern part of the outer court and also the southern, an account of what these chambers are used for and the whole measuring of the area of this temple complex. I won't say anything about it until we get there. It explains itself. So, if you look at this, it's truly a huge, magnificent complex. But it's going to be very practical and useful for the purpose for which it's designed. I was thinking as getting ready to read this and go through it tonight. The gospel is not just called the gospel in the New Testament scriptures. It's called the gospel of the kingdom. When John the Baptist preached, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus himself preached the gospel of the kingdom, as did the apostles and the apostle Paul. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come." The gospel of the kingdom includes the visible kingdom, which is to come at the end of the church age and the great tribulation. I mentioned this on Sunday, but I want to mention it again. I want to ask you, are you looking forward to this? Now, frankly, brothers and sisters, I'm looking forward to the eternal age. I can hardly wait to get to the holy city, the city of gold, the gates of pearl, where there's no more death, no sorrow, and all of that. And I can see that. I mean, it comes clearly in my vision and understanding. And I look forward to that. But there is an interim between the time that the church is called out of the world until they get to that great holy city, the New Jerusalem. And that's this 1,000 years reign on the earth. Brother Craig, I'm going to call it the Great Jubilee. I want to say this to you. Mankind has been on the earth for 6,000 years. No more. The scientists and all could talk about this millions and zillions of years, and there's no actual evidence of that in the Holy Scripture. We've been on the earth for 6,000 years. But there's another 1,000 which completes the time. And that's the millennium. That's the 1,000 years reign of Christ. During that time, man's going to live a long time. No one's going to die under 100 years old. The Lord's going to tame all of the critters again. And the earth, at least a good portion of the earth, is going to come forth with handfuls. And the harvests are going to be magnificent. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all of the Lord's kingdom on this earth. His knowledge will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And we're going to be there. And I love this. Let's be diligent to keep His word and do His commandments. and keep the ordinances as they were delivered to us, and be faithful until he comes. He said, those that do so, I'll give power over the nation. Listen, it doesn't say this just to take up space. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it said, don't you know that the saints are going to judge the world? We're going to judge angels. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I know we're going to judge the world during the millennium. He says, I'll give that one power over the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Listen, in the time of the millennium, there's not going to be any more of this broken law stuff where people cast the law in the streets. It's going, righteousness is going to reign across the earth. And the Lord himself will reign with a rod of iron, and we will reign with him and judge the nations. I'm looking forward to that. I don't feel like in this age, I really don't want to be a representative in Juneau or someone in Washington, D.C., because you're just polishing the brass on the sinking ship. We're going down. But praise God, this is coming. This is coming. And I hope you're ready for that to come. This is just as sure as it can be sure. John ends that the Lord said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Amen. Amen.